Welcome to episode number three of Bellcore Radio. I am joined here by the usual Black Mesa and special guest for the night because before I introduce our special guest, I'd like to say, Icon, learn to pick up your fucking phone. All right. Now, our special guest for the night would be... Go ahead and introduce yourself here.
Since he's the regular kind of guy, am I the unregular guy?
Yeah, you're decaf.
I am the unusual droops here on Bellcore Radio.
Yes, that's right, guys. Droops of Infonomicon fame. If you can consider Hacker Radio to make you famous. I would consider Droops famous in my book.
So for those 7 people that listen to my show, I'm famous in their book, right?
That's right. Listen, number 5 right here.
I'm sorry, I just never heard of it. I'll start listening to those. That'll give you 8.
Score!
But
good deal.
I guess let's go ahead and I want to start it out with reading an email that I got from someone, but actually it falls right into the section that we've been trying to have on the shows of spreading announcements about various hacker meetings and events. And Click, who apparently lives in Walton Beach, Florida, is trying to find people who are either attending a hacker meeting in that area or interested in starting up a hacker meeting in the Fort Walton Beach, Florida area. So he asks that if anybody wants to meet up or something, that you contact him. I don't really have any contact information here, but I'm going to go ahead and drop you guys his email address. You can reach him at, actually no, that's got his real name in it, so I'm going to set him up a temporary Bellcore Radio email address, so you can reach him at Click, that's K-L-I-C-K, at bellcoreradio.net. So if anyone is interested, go ahead and drop him a line.
Speaking of meeting people, how do y'all meet people? Like, you can go to 2600 and they've got all the meetings there, and BimRev has started up a meeting, and like there's the phone loser groups, which I think are really cool. Y'all think of any other outlets of meeting people?
Well, actually, I started organizing my own hacker meeting in my town just because the 2600 meetings that are close to me, the closest one is about an hour or an hour and a half drive, and I really couldn't take off work on Fridays to drive an hour and a half out of my way. So I decided, you know, I'd start up my own meeting. Didn't expect anyone to show up, but it's actually turned into quite a large gathering. So that's actually where I met up with Black Mesa here, and
I'm an original. What can I say?
But yes, it's a little group called Hack Duluth. So if anybody in the Duluth, Georgia area wants to chill with some elite hacksaws, go ahead and check that out at hackduluth.org. Or go to the new 2600 meeting at the Varsity, the 678-2600 meeting. Information is at maxiez.com, maxiez.com /678.html.
And I thought of another one while you were talking. Linux users groups. Like a lot of colleges have those. Like we don't have a 2600 meeting, but we have a Linux users group that we get to together and talk about stuff.
Well, the thing about those is they're so like uptight about everything that like basically gonna make you introduce yourself as like, yeah, I'm Ben /BlackMesa/everything like that. And I'm just not up for, I'm more for relaxed meetings, not some uptight meetings where they think you're better than, or they think they're better than you sort of deal going on.
Well, I've met all my guys, and I'm pretty much, there's like one guy that might be better than me. And that's not saying much, because I really suck. But they're just not really all into that stuff. And they're mostly, there's a lot of older people that go to these things that have like a company that does Linux stuff. And that's really kind of cool if you're looking for a job.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you need a .edu email address. Like ours gives out an email address. It's, you know, lulug/this/this/ the college name. And you can sign up for an eBay account with a .edu email address, and you don't have to provide any credit card information. So you can kind of fake out eBay if you needed to.
Just to drag this topic out even further than we already have, I believe we forgot to mention the DEF CON meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I personally haven't had the pleasure of attending a DEF CON meeting, or actually I've never attended a LUG meeting, but I've, from what I've gathered from talking to people who have attended DEF CON meetings, if you're into actually meeting up with people and having, you know, watching presentations on things or, you know, actually sitting down and learning about a specific subject with a group of people, DEF CON meetings, from what I've gathered, that is the environment you're looking for. I found 2600 meetings to generally just be kind of a laid-back, you know, a bunch of people getting together and hanging out and shooting the shit. But if you want, like, good technical, I don't want to say discussion because it's really good technical instruction on things, go check out, you should have one somewhere in your state, maybe your local area, I don't know. Go check out your local DEF CON group. And if you want, actually, yes, somebody go check out their local DEF CON group that hasn't been there before and send me an email letting me know about it, and I will read your email on the air because I'm really curious about these DEF CON groups.
I heard they really do have like good presentations and things like that, which I find interesting. I'll have to check it out sometime because I've never been to one either. So, yeah.
Are y'all going to DEF CON?
I was going to DEF CON, but some things came up, and I was supposed to actually leave today now. I was supposed to leave, but like I said, some things came up, and now I'm not able to go. So there you go.
Well, I'm heading up the big road and taking the airplane over there on Friday.
They also spent like a week there, and, well, now I can't. So kind of sucks.
I'm kind of sad that I'm going to miss out on the – because I was looking through the speakers list on there, on their website, and they're having a lot of good presentations this year that I was really interested in going and seeing, but I could not manage to get off of work in time, so. And plus, I don't really think that I would, because I live with my parents, because I'm a big noob, and I'm sure that they wouldn't take too kindly to me going out to Las Vegas for the weekend, and.
Aw, poor pony boy.
Yeah.
That is why.
Everything.
That's why you shouldn't ever live with your parents.
Yeah, I know. God, you should just pop out of that womb and get an apartment.
Yeah, hell, man, that's what I did. Jesus, I don't see if that big a deal, you know.
I went to military school when I was 15, and everyone's like, "Oh, military school sucks." And like, I had a later bedtime at military school. We had cable TV. It was all really nice. Like, I didn't have any of that shit at my house.
What is that noise?
Is it me?
I think so. Are you rustling papers over there or something?
No, I was walking out my screen door.
Okay. Sorry, it was just started. It was like, it was weird. I don't know. It's like somebody's like eating or slobbering on the phone or something. I don't know.
Let me spit my food out then.
Yeah, you guys want to get on to bigger and better things here?
Let's get on to it.
We got quite a bit of stuff we need to be covering on this episode.
I guess I'll start with the new, I don't know if anybody's heard about it, but it's like a $99, like an instant messenger thing for kids that runs Linux. Have you guys heard of it?
I believe yes, I read something on Slashdot about it, just kind of breezed through it, because I'm not really a big Linux person, but...
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's a little tiny thing called Zippit Instant Messenger appliance, and what it does is, like, lets kids and stuff connect to the, your wireless network that you probably maybe have in your house, and... It lets them use instant messaging like AOL, MSN, Yahoo, etc. And apparently it is, because they have like these little hacks and whatnot for it, that you can like just do different things with it, like actually have it call directly to the kernel and things like that. And just like little tiny modification you can do to it, which I thought was pretty cool. I mean, and $99, you really can't go wrong. I mean, it's a cool little thing to mess around with and mod and stuff like that for $99. So if anybody wants to, like, look deeply into it, it's called Zippit Instant Messenger Appliance. I mean, there's really not much to report about it, except that it runs Linux and stuff.
And it's
Leet. Yeah. And, yeah, it's Leet. It's 1337. You can't forget that.
Does it have a keyboard, or how do you input into it?
It's a little like a thumb keyboard, like some, you know how some cell phones have, like it's like,
yeah.
Like help cell phones. Yeah, it's like that. It's a little thumb keyboard with rubber keys and everything like that, and you just do it like that. And it has like a LCD monochrome screen.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It looks like a kind of like a Nintendo DS or a Game Boy DS or
one screen, it does.
But it's like a little fold-over, weird-looking thing. I don't know. But
yeah,
it
looks kind of like a cell phone.
Yeah, and it comes in a nice variety of colors so that you can match it to your shoes, because that's what's important in life.
Apparently, that's what's important to technology now, is to be able to match with what you're wearing.
Oh, exactly. Because I can't text message unless I've got something that matches my pink Tim.
Exactly. Or something that matches my little, Cinderella t-shirt that I always wear all the time, things like that.
So what are y'all wearing right now?
I'm actually naked.
Hey, I think that might be the theme for this show.
Yes.
Well, hold on, let me take my clothes off.
Yes. All right, well, welcome, if you guys are just joining us, welcome to the All Naked Edition of Belcore Radio.
Because who doesn't love nakedness?
Yes. But as much as I love nakedness, I really love window blinds a lot more, because then I can use my nakedness and not have my neighbors looking at me.
Because we all know they love to look at you naked. They love to sit there with their binoculars to stalk you like some kind of weird stalker person or something. Okay, well, anyways, I'm done with that. Did anybody else find that odd? Or just me? So we're sitting here talking about how we're all naked on the radio.
Well, that's okay, because we're all lying, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I took my pants off, but I'm still wearing my Windows Server 2003 shirt that I got at the flea market.
Yeah, well...
My boss said I needed to look more professional, so I... said Windows Server 2003. That's pretty professional for me.
Oh, that's great.
I was trying to find some really ugly shoes because he doesn't want me wearing flip flops anymore. And the fun part is that I'm getting this lecture about how I don't dress professionally, and his baby is crying in the background because he brings his baby to work, And I'm thinking to myself, you know? anyway, shut up.
I would have.
Go about your radio show, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, now you have me wanting to comment on that. I would have just told him, hey, you know, at least I don't bring my child to work. If you happen to have one, maybe, or not, I don't know.
But I need a job really bad, so.
Well,
I don't tell him that.
But don't you wish you could? Because I know I wish I could, which I think I will, because I hate my job.
All right. I apologize to you guys. I'm going to go a little off these show notes because I've just got something that I really need to just rant about for just a little while.
Go to town, buddy.
I don't mind your wild tangents, Pony Boy. You know.
I just want to say to my lovely, lovely internet service provider, Comcast, fuck yourself. I am getting so fucking tired of having my connection dropped every 3 fucking minutes. Every 3 minutes, I get dropped off my fucking internet. And that wouldn't be so bad. For a while, I thought, you know, it might just be my wireless network that's fucking up. But no, I've heard countless stories from my friends that are on Comcast, and they're all having the same issues. They're all dropping off their... All their connections are dropping out after, like, 5 minutes. And today, on the radio, I'm driving around in my car, and on the radio comes on a commercial that says, hey, this is Comcast. I'm paraphrasing here. But, hey, this is Comcast, and you know, we can give you these channels. So, if you like these channels, you better not fucking call and change your cable TV service or change your cable service because we're fucking pressuring you into doing things so that you don't give up our fucking terrible service just so we can make a little fucking money because we're too fucking lazy to install some more servers and route your fucking data properly. So, just fuck you, Comcast. And, yeah.
Now, do you ever call Comcast and complain?
Yes. Actually, on numerous occasions, I call Comcast and complain. But there's a little problem, and that is when you call Comcast and complain, they say, hey, let me transfer you to someone who gives a fuck, and then they transfer you around about 3 or 4 times and fucking hang up on you.
Yeah.
I recently spent several hours with Bell South on the phone because I was having a little trouble with my internet. And at the end of it, like when you're done talking to somebody, they always tell you, thank you for choosing Bell South. And I think that's very ironic. And I asked the last person, I said, hey, is there anyone else in this area that, you know, has a 3 megabit connection that I can get on DSL? And they're like, well, I don't think so. And I was like, well, I didn't really choose y'all, did I?
Exactly. You know, you guys can fuck yourselves in the ass. If I had a choice, I would go somewhere else. But I really don't have much of a choice if I want a nice cable internet connection in my area anymore.
That's not exactly nice now, is it? A nice connection, considering that it sucks and all?
Well, as far as... I mean, Comcast used to... I mean, I used to love Comcast for a very long time. But just recently... Actually, not just recently. It happens about once a year that I'm assuming they just get overloaded with so many people buying their service, and they refuse to do anything about it. I mean, they refuse to. I have not seen or heard one thing from them saying, "Oh, we're sorry that you know we completely fucked up everything that has to do with your life. So we're gonna fix your internet connection." And okay, all right, sorry for ruining the radio show, guys. I'm going to just...
Oh, no.
Because there's no way that I'm trying to think of a way that I can use this whole topic of conversation to move on to something else, because...
Well, let me talk before we move it on. Bell South is horrible with the people, just like singular. Horrible with the people. They don't know what they're doing. They have to transfer you to 1,000 different people to get anything done. But I'm fortunate enough that, like, Bell South's phone and their internet... is awesome. Like, the service itself works really good. I never get dropped. It's always really good. It's just whenever I have to deal with the people.
Yeah, well,
and that sucks.
Yeah, that's customer service for you, though.
Like, I have a cell phone with a really small company here in Mississippi, and they charge a little bit more than everybody else, and they don't really have the nationwide network because they're a little shitty company in Mississippi. But whenever I have any issue with the cell phone, the first person I talk to can handle everything, and that's really nice.
That is really nice. We need something like that here. I would be more than willing to pay a little extra on my cell phone bills. And, you know, to deal with, because I don't really, well, wait, when you say you don't have a really good national plan or whatnot, that's,
well, like,
for,
I can call nationwide, but I can't go to DEFCON and expect to use my phone without getting charged out the ass.
Well, see, that would be perfect for me, because I don't, I hardly ever leave my town, much less, like, my state. And when I do, when I leave the state, I'm usually on vacation, and the last thing I want to fucking do is call people on my cell phone. So I think we need to get something, what's the service called? I'm gonna tell them to Enterprise up into Georgia.
The company is Cellular South.
Cellular South.
And their customer service is awesome. Their phone selection sucks. Everything sucks. But it's they're upgrading to CDMA right now. They're very excited about that.
You're still running on, like, analog?
Yeah, but I don't have to worry about minutes. Like, I can pick up my phone at noon, and it's all included in the plan. There's no numbers and all this daylight and nighttime crap.
That actually sounds a lot. That sounds a lot like my service that I have. I have a, I think it's only available in certain cities in America. It's called MetroPCS. It's a great service, and I love it. I mean, it's unlimited minutes anytime I want. I can call anywhere in the continental U.S. I mean, it's kind of a downside, because if I do leave their calling area, which is basically the Metro Atlanta area, if I leave there, then I lose my entire cell phone, sir. I lose all reception. I can't make or receive any calls, which I can deal with it, you know. Like I said, I don't really leave the area that much. And it's great, because I make a lot of phone calls, and so I can make a lot of phone calls. But it's the exact opposite of your scenario, because the employees of this company are ignorant morons. I go just to, you know, ask a simple question, like, hey, I pay you guys money to send me a paper bill that has a list of all the calls that I make, but when I get the bill, it doesn't list a goddamn call that I've made, so fix it. And they basically sit there and stare at this piece of paper for about 15 minutes and then say their computer system's down, so come back next week. And I mean, but other than that, it's not a big problem. You know, I can deal with it, because I don't really, you know, they've got this nice little machine when you walk in the door that you can pay your bill at right there if you want to. You don't have to deal with people, which isn't a big deal for me. You know, I don't, if I can deal without, or if I can go without dealing with Jolanda behind the desk, who would rather spit on my face than help me, you know, do something with my cell phone, then I'm more than happy to, you know, push the little touch screen a couple times and put some money inside the slot and then, you know, be on my way.
Well, anyway, while we're on the topic of this, let's move away from it.
Well, actually, I had one other thing to say.
All right.
Singular screws you over. Do not get Singular. They completely screw you over. I have because I recently switched over to Singular, and my first bill was $100. Okay, you know, that's acceptable because using $50 plus like a $50, you know, it added up to like $50 in service charges since I had it activated. Well, I get my bill this month. It's $119. I open it up, and I flip, and got extremely pissed off because they apparently charged me all this other crap that I don't remember ever doing or having. And yeah, they just screw. They try their best to screw you over. So.
And to get that off your bill takes several hours of your time.
Yeah, I mean it's ridiculous. They didn't even like. They put me on hold, and I was on hold for like 30 minutes, and nobody ever come back. And I was like, son of a bitch. So. Yeah, they're a bunch of assholes, and they screw you over. So. Fuck Singular. Fucking bastards. Hope they burn in hell.
Hell yeah.
But anyways, like I said, move away from that topic.
Yeah.
Just had to
basically, to sum up what we've all been saying, cell phone companies hate you. They don't want your service at all. Neither does your cable provider. They really wish you would die. All right,
but continue
on.
To pay your bill.
Yes, as long as they make money, they could give a shit less about you.
Exactly.
Right.
If you ever notice, the errors are never in your favor. They're always charging you more, never less, ever.
Exactly. And that is why we live in America.
Isn't America great?
I'm sure they do that in other countries, too.
Maybe. Who knows? Anyway. Yeah.
Oh, I want to go ahead and say this so that, because after the last episode when I made that that offer for the free T-shirt to whoever sent me the first instant message, it's gone, guys. You can stop. I've had so many people sending me messages for this shirt. It was gone like a day after we released the episode. So you can stop sending me instant messages now. Congratulations, Telco Bob, on your free T-shirt. Once I get them made, I should be sending one to you soon. They should be getting made by next Monday, so be on the lookout.
You know it's going to make them want to message you more, right?
Oh, yeah. But that's okay, because that was actually just a clever plot so that people would talk to me.
I'm sorry, Pony. Pony was like one of those socially inept people that...
Yes, very.
Just, you know... People, I don't even have to bother to explain. We all love Pony Boy.
Yeah, in case the listeners haven't figured it out from my constant stammering and really, really great monotone radio voice. Yeah, I don't really do well with talking to people. I can, you know, chat my fucking ass off on, like, IRC. I'm great, because I can be a total dick to people, and there's not much they can do. But when they find out that I have the voice of, like, a prepubescent kid, it just doesn't... I'm just not as cool-sounding anymore. So, I hope that doing this radio show doesn't knock me down a couple points on the cool ladder. But,
You have a cool ladder? I didn't know Geek Fight does have a cool ladder. Hmm.
Oh, yeah. We didn't tell you about it.
Damn, I'm that uncool?
No, you're that cool, but you don't know about how cool you are.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm so cool that I don't
need one. You're already up on the roof. You don't need the ladder, man. It's okay.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
All right. Show notes. back on track here. Let's see if I can find a nice segue into this, into anything from what we've been talking about.
How about we talk about something that doesn't suck?
All right,
open source software. Open source software doesn't suck.
I agree. Open source software does not suck.
Well, somebody does.
Well, yeah,
well,
but in the
but
concept
in general,
doesn't suck.
Yeah. Damn you! You had to ruin it, didn't you?
Well, like the idea behind Windows is a really good idea. But the operating system's horrid.
Yeah. But
it's all in the delivery.
Okay, let's put it this way. The idea behind open source is a good one.
Yeah.
So.
And 56.2% of software developers can't be wrong. Hey, that of course is the lovely statistic that I pulled off Slashdot about a week or so ago that around I'm just going to sum it down to 56 because the 0.2 isn't even worth counting right now. But yes, over half of software developers are using open source now, which I think is really fucking cool. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm excited to know that, you know, if I wanted to take the source code from something that I'm playing with and check it out and see if I can find some way to duplicate what it's doing, that I can, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can actually. I think it's just one step closer to all of us saying, hey, fuck you, you know, fuck you Microsoft, or fuck you some other company I can't think of right now. We're not going to, you know, buy this operating system because you say that we're supposed to, and we're going to go with, you know, this software over here that we can check it out and look at how it works. And if we really, really wanted to, make it work better.
And to top it all off, it's free.
Well, see, actually, there's a difference between free software and open source software. Like,
okay,
well,
let's put it this way. Open source is usually free.
Is usually free. Some of it you have to buy to get the source code, but you still get that when you purchase it, which is like buying a car that you can work on, kind of important.
Yeah. Thank you for your correction. Much appreciated.
I got to do something.
It's like one of the guys that sits in the silence and then corrects people when they mess up.
It's a rare day when I can correct somebody, so I had to take it.
Welcome home.
Aw, it's not that bad, is it?
Well, I have a topic that y'all were going to talk about that I'm very excited about. And
very
I think we should talk about the street signs.
Ah, yes, the street sign hacksaws.
Have you actually seen one of these things that's been hacksawed as it would be?
In person, no. I have seen many, many pictures, but no, I have not had the pleasure of actually watching one or seeing one that has been hacked.
Well, I was riding down the road one day, and I saw one that had a message on it that was not the proper message. So we stopped to look at it. We even took pictures, but I don't know where the hell they went. But it appeared, now this is all from what I could tell, that someone had taken a crowbar and, in fact, gone to Walmart and purchased some metal shears, really drunk, and fried the thing open while cutting the metal pieces that held the lock on. You know, it's just from what I could tell. And immediately afterwards, after I saw this, I went and bought some bolt cutters so that if I ever have to do that, I can just snip that lock really quick.
But you wouldn't do that.
But, I mean, you know, I saw it. So, of course, we stopped. And inside the thing, I've seen pictures where they had, like, a old IBM-style keyboard, but this one had the little plastic keys that, like, you pushed against, like, a little bubble.
Yeah.
Old calculators used to have. And the password was written in magic marker on the side of the thing, and of course I'm assuming the highway department workers wrote that. And we, of course, messed with it a little bit just to, you know, see if we could fix it to the correct message, which was no parking next 2 miles. And, in fact, it said go whatever the home team was in the town, and which was really clever. I thought it was a really cool thing. But the password was written there, and if you type the password in, you could access this thing. And it held 99 messages, and I think they could be 4 or 5 screens long.
Hell yeah.
And they had a whole bunch of them saved in there. And they had a little cheat sheet with the ones they had pre-programmed in there. I think they had about 5 or 6 or 10 programmed in. And this person had just changed to a different one, you know, made a new one, and changed it. So it was very easy, I'm sure, for the highway department to set it back. But it's very, very cool.
I can say that I have driven past many, many, many of those signs, and I really wanted to stop. But, of course, you know, generally you'll find those signs, go figure, located right next to a road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of rough to, you know, go and check out these kind of, you know, open enough the control panel box on it and poking around inside without having somebody, you know, stop and try and figure out what the hell you're doing.
Well, I think that you have to have somebody that's a driver that drives around, and when you're done, you just call them on your cell phone and say, hey, pick me up.
Yeah.
And then you just hide when cars come by. Because, I mean, if you duck down behind this thing, when the car passes you, the lights are going to hit all over you. But no one's going to be looking for a guy laying on the ground there.
Yeah.
So as long as they don't see, like, a face, you're pretty much set.
Pony boys, that gives me an idea. We have to do this.
No, no. We would never, tamper with Department of Transportation and,
Well, I don't think it's a really bad thing. I mean, if it's, like, danger, you know, sharp curve ahead or, you know, shit like that, I wouldn't want to mess with it. But if it was, like, no parking next 2 miles, you know, that's just a joke. They shouldn't even have that there in the first place.
Well, I admit committing no crimes, but about once a year, we do have a big golf tournament in my town, and there are these signs are everywhere. So next year, anybody who happens to be looking around my hometown might see some signs that have been changed. I admit to no crime, but
yes.
things happen.
And you also have to think about the intelligence of the people that are going to be operating these things. They're probably going to have how to do it inside the thing. And from what I've heard, most of these things have the passwords written inside of them. Because, I mean, if there's one in my town that our highway department people have, and the people in the next town over need it, it's just a big hassle to have to know the password. I mean, who's really going to go past a lock? So it's easy just to write them down.
Yeah, I guess you can't really expect too high of computer security knowledge from people who do work on the sides of the road.
Yeah.
So.
And bolt cutters would be really nice, so you could put your own lock on it, so that it's harder for them to change it back. I'm sure whoever did this one was pretty pissed that they didn't have bolt cutters in their truck, and that Walmart, which has been open at 4 in the morning, per se, didn't carry bolt cutters. They just had metal shears.
All right, I've got something that I want to talk about here, just because it really has not that much to do with phone freaking and really not that much to do with hacking, but it's just something that I heard about that sounds like a really, really cool idea.
Spring porn.
And basically, this guy in Toronto made a gigantic game of tag using people's cell phones on the Toronto subway, the Toronto public transit system. And basically, let's see how this all works out. Yeah, one person would get on the subway, and they would try to hide. And then the other people would try and follow clues that dispatchers would phone, they would call them on the phone and say, hey, here's a clue. And they would basically have to put the clues together and try and track this guy down and find him while he was riding the subway around, you know, Toronto, wherever the hell, which train he was on and stuff. And this just sounded like, it kind of reminded me of I guess it was in maybe DEFCON, maybe Freaknik, I can't remember which conference it was. They had a Wi-Fi race where they had, I think it was at Freaknik in Nashville, they had 6 or 7 access points all throughout the city, and people would just go out and they would try to collect data from all the access points and bring it back. And I just think it's a kind of a cool concept to have, you know, just to, instead of, you know, sitting around and playing games on your computer, which I know a whole hell of a lot of people listening to this show do, you know, take a little initiative and think up a really cool idea for a game that you could get people all over your city involved in. And, I mean, this wasn't that hard. You know, people could register their phone number on, like, a website or something, and the dispatchers would just, they'd just maybe even send out, like, a mass text message. Just have a program that uses SMS to just send out text messages to every single one of the phone numbers that was registered. And I guess the idea of just getting so many people involved in a game like this, which is, you know, it's just a silly little game. You know, it's a game of, you know, playing detective for a while. But it just seems like a really cool idea that I can't believe people haven't really, you know, haven't thought about or haven't tried before.
Yeah. And Mark S. just sent me a message. He said he's listening to the show.
Yeah. He sent me, let's see, he sent me two, actually, on both my screen name. So, all right.
Hey, Mark.
Let's see what else we got to cover here. Yeah, I got to talk about this, because this actually relates to the show, sort of. The nice people at Telefreak who graciously let us have our IRC channel on their server. Just to pimp our channel, it's irc.telefreak.org, and the channel is #BCR, so come hang out because we really, really, really need users. But they wrote a paper, some of the people over at Telefreak, and I got it off Slashdot. I thought it was really cool to see it there. But basically, they wrote this nice paper about hosting multiple asterisk servers on one VPS, you know, one virtual private server. And it relates to the show simply because our PBX, the Bellcore Radio PBX, is actually hosted on one of the servers on this in the paper. So I just wanted to let people know about this paper because it might be old news. I don't know, you know. I don't really have any experience with asterisk. But if you want to, you know, check it out. It's a really cool concept. And I tiny URL'd the address, so I wouldn't have to say it all on the air, but you can check it out at tinyurl.com/74ngg. But check that out. And also, yeah, another reason that I decided to talk about it on the air, they were hoping that this paper and having it on Slashdot would get them a whole bunch of new users coming through on the IRC server and whatnot. But they apparently posted it. Instead of posting it to the main index, they just posted it in the hardware section. And they're real torn up about that. So hopefully this will get you guys that lovely traffic that you were talking about because you fucked up. So let's see what else we got to cover here. Well,
Building your own mobile hotspot.
That is a
very, 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 very awesome idea. They have a little article about how to do it and everything. It's using I think it was a Sprint card, I believe. A Sprint wireless internet card, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
A solar-powered backpack. A mobile wireless gateway. And, a junction box wireless gateway. I mean, it's kind of an expensive project because the wireless gateway itself is $700. And then you have the Verizon wireless PC wireless internet card, which is $100. And then the self-charging solar-powered backpack is $230. But, I mean, being able to have wireless internet anywhere you go that has cell phone service, that's pretty awesome. And with the Verizon wireless internet, you can get, I think, 750K a second. So having 750K a second wherever, like, if you're out, like, hiking or something, or out on, like, I don't know, a road trip or something like that, being able to have wireless internet just about everywhere you go, that would be extremely nice.
Yeah, I guess for what, somewhere around $1,200.
Yeah.
You know, if you got $1,200 to spare and you got a little free time and some initiative on your hands, that would be a great project, you know. Just because the setup for it, not that hard, you know. You just connect a few things together and put them inside a backpack. But I can see the price factor kind of holding a lot of people back from doing it. But, I mean, like, you could really help a lot of people. I mean, you know, you go, let's say you go to, like, your local 2600 meeting or something. and they're at a place that doesn't have Wi-Fi. Just bring along, you know, your mobile backpack hotspot and plop it down on the table in the middle of all your guys' laptops and, you know, enjoy some Wi-Fi for your meeting. And then, you know, if you're after the meeting, you want to, you know, save some money and not use it any other time, that's cool, you know. I mean, the whole people at the meeting could throw together to pay for the project and to pay for whatever, you know, fees that you would have to use the Verizon Internet service or whatever. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how many people show up at, you know, your local 2600 meeting or your local DEF CON meeting or whatever meeting, but, you know, $1,200, I know there's usually about 9 or so people that show up at my local meeting. $1,200 split 9 ways is not that much money, you know? And then I can only imagine, you know, how much a month the service to have the internet, like to have the card run on the internet, you know, I couldn't imagine that being a whole hell of a lot of money. So I strongly urge anyone to go out and try this project, because I know for a fact that I'm too lazy to do it. And that somebody fucking get it. But I want to hear. I want someone to do it, and I want them to write me an email and send me pictures and all sorts of cool shit like that.
Yeah, just let us know how it goes. It'd be interesting to see how good it really, really works. But I just thought it was a really, really interesting idea. I mean, I would never have thought about doing something like that. I mean, you know.
Exactly. And I mean, it's a simple concept, you know. It's not really complicated, but it just takes an interesting thought process to come up with the idea.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's simple, but it's like one of those things that, you know, people come up with all the time, those simple things that you're like, damn, if I would have thought of that, I could have made so much money, and it's so simple. It's like one of those things.
Exactly. But I'm really glad that instead of making so much money off the idea, that this guy who came up with the concept instead, you know, sent an article in about it to Popular Science magazine instead of saying, hey, I'm going to go patent this right the fuck now, and I'm going to start mass marketing it right the fuck now so that I can make as much money as possible. He didn't do that. He said, hey, this is a cool idea, and I think that other people should know about this because I think it would solve a lot of people's problems for getting internet access in places that you really can't get internet access at. So, mad props to, let me see who the, mad props to Mike Altmesqueen. I hope I pronounced your last name right, Mike. So, everyone, if you ever run into Mike Altmesqueen, ask to see what's inside his backpack and shake that man's hand because he's fucking smart. And that's probably the only time you'll ever be able to touch a smart man's hand. I want to apologize to everyone. I know that I promised a lot of people that I would try and have the show be a lot more related to telephones. I lied. I'm sorry. We're trying our new recording method, which we haven't totally perfected yet. We haven't totally perfected being able to place phone calls. I'm trying to work on getting a better speakerphone so I can do that kind of stuff. So, many apologies for this episode because I have no way of making any phone calls, and so I didn't get any numbers to call. But just for this purpose, just to make up for it, I promise the next episode, if hopefully our guest host for that episode picks up his damn cell phone for a change, we will have a very freaky episode. There will be lots of phone numbers to be called. There will be lots of telco nonsense to be talked about. So, don't lose hope, please. God, don't lose hope.
Keep listening, please.
Yes, because if you guys stop listening, then we're just, I mean, we don't know what we're going to do with our bandwidth. We've got it,
yeah.
And we need to use it up. So, I guess.
So special.
Yeah. So I think we're out of stuff to talk about. But you guys want to go ahead and end this thing? I think we've been going for about an hour now. All right.
Good. Tomorrow.
Well, yeah. If you guys are still listening, thanks for sticking around through this. Through another really awkward and kind of silent episode of Bellcore Radio. This has been your lovely host, Phony Boy, and the other two guys who are about to speak.
The one and only Black Mesa.
And Droops, the guy that was quiet the second half of the show.
Yes. But you know, Droops, like I said before the show, it was just enough to have you idle and sound pretty.
Well, I try to sound pretty.
Yeah. I know how you are when Bubba Hax is in town, though.
Well, yeah.
So very, very awkward. So awkward, huh?
Yeah. All right. So that has been the end of Belcore Radio Episode 3, or, as I like to call it, the Naked Episode.
The Naked
Episode. Yes.
Yes.
So until next time. Yeah. Until next time, keep freaking, keep hacking, and put your fucking pants on, Droops.